Mitt Romney spent his morning focusing on vote-rich southern New Hampshire. He started at a Chamber of Commerce breakfast in Nashua, where a comment he made about choice in health care,
"I like being able to fire people who provide services to me,"
became a late-breaking flashpoint. Democrats and Republican rivals Newt Gingrich, Rick Perry, and John Huntsman all piled on, so much so that at Romney's next stop in Hudson, he called a press conference, his first since the Iowa caucuses, to diffuse the matter.
I know free enterprise is on trial, and we have a president who really doesn't believe in the rights of people to do that, but I believe in the right of people to get rid of an insurance company they don't want.
Romney also clarified another comment that's become an unwelcome headache as he looks to mobilize the vote he's been working years to build, that he himself has feared being fired.
I think people imagine that I came in at the top of Bain & Company, the consulting firm, or the Boston Consulting Group. I started at the bottom. And like anybody that starts at the bottom of an enterprise, you wonder, when you don't do so well, whether you're going to be able to hang on to your job. You know, will you be one of those that's laid off?
The question now is, will Mitt Romney hang on to what every poll suggests remains a commanding lead in the state where he's never been anything but the clear frontrunner?
I'm Amy Quinton with the Rick Santorum campaign in Derry.
A former Pennsylvania senator greeted voters here during lunch hour at Mary Ann's Diner, a popular campaign spot for the candidates. Derry residents Ken and Jackie Hepworth had just come from Santorum's earlier meeting in Salem, where they say they were impressed by his candor. But like the almost 30% of undecided voters in New Hampshire, the two haven't made up their mind in this primary.
They're all pretty good. I mean, we go see them.
Option this year. Sometimes you really have no choice.
Good. Speakers. I think Santoro is the most realistic. He's the down-to-earth guy. He's the guy you can believe in. Whatever he says, I think he'll do it. He'll try to do it.
The latest WMUR poll shows Santorum in a race for third with John Huntsman. But Santorum is pleased with the progress he's made in a state where only 23% of the electorate self-identify as evangelical Christians. Santorum is hoping his message of social conservatism will resonate with voters.
I think they have. I mean, we've moved up, you know, from 2 or 3% in the polls to now, you know, in the pack of the folks who have spent a lot more time and money than we have here. And that's a good place to be.
Windham resident Bill Sterner says he's leaning toward Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, but likes the momentum that Santorum has coming off a near win in Iowa.
You know, we'll make our decision as we come near to the poll time. Very traditional.
For Sterner, there's only one important issue in this primary.
Beating Obama. That's number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I'm Sam Evans Brown with the Gingrich campaign at PSNH in Manchester. The room here is packed, but according to the workers at the door, the ratio of media to others is about 10 to 1.
So with that, welcome Speaker Gingrich. Speaker?
Former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, stumped before PSNH employees at the utility's headquarters. He discussed his tax plan, his energy plan, and his plan to overturn President Obama's new health care laws. It wasn't until the tail end of the speech that Gingrich took aim at the Republican frontrunner, Mitt Romney.
Governor Romney is, in fact, legitimately and authentically a Massachusetts moderate.
Gingrich trails Romney, with some polls putting him in fifth place. Even so, John McDonald, a PSNH vice president, is considering casting his vote for Gingrich.
It's coming down to the wire. It really is. I don't know a lot about Mr. Santorum, but I think it's a neck-and-neck race between Mr. Gingrich and Mr. Huntsman for me. And right now, having come off a very good meeting with Mr. Gingrich, I give him a slight edge.
At a later appearance in Dover, Gingrich announced that his campaign will begin airing negative attack ads, reversing an earlier promise to stay positive.
Dan Gorenstein here in Eagle Square in downtown Concord with the Huntsman campaign. The governor has just come and told supporters he's got a real good shot at second place here and feels momentum building for him in these final hours.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to turn conventional wisdom upside down tomorrow night. Are you with me?
There was a real sense of optimism among the small but loyal crowd here. Plenty of people were buzzing about Huntsman's exchange with GOP frontrunner Mitt Romney in Sunday morning's debate. Huntsman had told Romney that he was proud to serve as ambassador to China in the Obama administration. He went on to say he'll continue to put country above party. Republican State Representative Jim Waddell says that's the kind of message that distinguishes Huntsman from the pack.
If I say that my ideology means more than the country moving forward, which I think Mitt Romney said, well, I want the economy to go ahead, I want the country to go ahead, I want manufacturing to increase, and I think country comes first and ideology comes second.
Huntsman put pressure on himself today. He says he wants to build a head of steam coming out of New Hampshire, proving that he's electable. The question is whether Huntsman can leapfrog Texas Congressman Ron Paul for second. 19-year-old campaign volunteer Jake Wagner thinks the timing's right.
Yeah, you know, you've seen in this campaign that so many candidates have gone up and down, up and down, up and down. And now it's finally to the point where Huntsman, God honestly, remains the only candidate without a strong surge. Finally, we think it's here.
Wagner says the ace up Huntsman's sleeve, retail politics. The former Utah governor has been practically living here in New Hampshire the past 4 months.
I'm John Greenberg with the Ron Paul campaign outside the Timberland main office in Stratham. Paul spoke here to about 120 employees. He said there isn't much time left to persuade anyone.
But we feel good about the campaign, how it's been going. A lot of times in the media, they keep asking me, well, what's your strategy? Actually, my strategy has always been the same, and it's intense interest in what I consider very important, and that is a message about individual freedom.
Paul has gotten further with that message in this campaign than he did 4 years ago. He's doing better in the polls, and on the campaign trail, he attracts large and enthusiastic crowds. The group at Timberland was not as receptive. The applause was sparse, and questions like this one suggested employees here were not quite ready to embrace the free market world that Paul envisions.
Many in Congress, Republicans in Congress, and our own state legislature here in New Hampshire want to roll back various regulations, as you were just discussing a little while ago, to make us more competitive so we can compete in that world marketplace better. That, to me, sounds like a race to the bottom.
Paul stuck to his guns.
Okay, I need to ask one question to you. You mean there are no regulations here that are harmful?
Paul said you can use other means to solve the problems regulations are intended to address. He seemed to connect a bit better with his audience when he talked about dealing with Iran through diplomacy rather than economic sanctions or implied military action. If this wasn't exactly the sort of crowd Paul would like to face the day before the primary, he's likely to find a warmer welcome at his next event. This evening, he has a town hall meeting in Exeter. For NHPR News, I'm John Greenberg.